Casting Out Evil Part 5, The Tactics Satan Uses to Torment You. Ezra Taft Benson once said, "We live in a wicked world. Never in our memory have the forces of evil been arrayed in such deadly formation, the devil's well organized. Never in our day has he had so many emissaries working for him." President Benson gave this statement 48 years ago. I can only imagine what he would say now. Among us church members, there's a predominant tradition which says we shouldn't know about Satan and how he attacks us. That ignorance is bliss, and ignore Satan and he'll go away. Joseph Smith said that it's a great evil, not just an evil, a great evil, to be ignorant of the nature of evil spirits, their power, government, intelligence, the laws by which they're governed, and the signs by which they may be known. In fact, without that intelligence, Joseph said, you invite darkness, suspense, and doubt. You experience spiritual captivity, as is stated in Isaiah 5 and 2 Nephi 15, and thus evil spirits will have greater power over you. It's no wonder that Ezra Taft Benson said that because Satan knows where and how to strike you, quote, a study of Satan's methods can alert us to his seductions, unquote. So, I extend to you three invitations. One, if you'd rather remain ignorant of Satan's ways, then feel free to keep napping. Or two, if you're interested in leaving behind your ignorance of Satan, studying his methods and being alerted to his seductions, then keep reading. Or three, if you're interested in looking beyond your own needs and seeking ways to help others avoid spiritual darkness and captivity, then comment on this post below. Add more knowledge. Add more testimony to it. Make this post stronger. In my previous post, I opined that evil spirits have three objectives. One, to try, torment, and torture you. Two, to keep you from knowing Christ as Savior, prevent the formation of a relationship with him. And number three, to keep you from serving with him effectively, prevent the formation of a working, productive relationship with him which will help others form a relationship with him. To accomplish these objectives, Satan and his forces employ at least 12 different tactics. Now please note that in this podcast, I'm only including one quote for each of the 12 tactics. Otherwise, this podcast is going to go really long, and I'd rather have it be a little shorter. So the blog post features all of the relevant quotes. The podcast is only going to feature just one. Here is tactic number one. They observe you. Satan watches us. He hears us speak. He knows our predominant faults and uses temptations to lead us to yet another sin. And the moment we take our focus off of God, he jumps in and tempts us with what we've relocated our focus on. Here's President Brigham Young. He said, "I know very well that, whether we are active or not, the invisible spirits are active, and every person who desires and strives to be a saint is closely watched by fallen spirits that came here when Lucifer fell, and by the spirits of wicked persons who have been here in tabernacles and departed from them, but who are still under the control of the Prince of Power of the Air. Those spirits are never idle. They are watching every person who wishes to do right, and are continually prompting them to do wrong. This makes it necessary for us to continue on our guard, makes this probation a continual warfare." Tactic number two, they whisper negativity to your spirit. Here is Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf. He said, quote, "We don't always know the details of our future. We do not know what lies ahead. We live in a time of uncertainty. We are surrounded by challenges on all sides. Occasionally, discouragement may sneak into our day. Frustration may invite itself into our thinking. Doubt might enter about the value of our work. In these dark moments, Satan whispers in our ears that we will never be able to succeed, that the price isn't worth the effort, and that our small part will never make a difference. He, the father of all lies, will try to prevent us from seeing the end from the beginning." Tactic number three, they lull you into complacency. This is 2 Nephi 28:21. "And others he will pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell." Tactic number four, they test and exploit your weaknesses. Here is President Joseph Fielding Smith, Jr. We should be on guard always to resist Satan's advances. He will appear to us in the person of a friend or a relative in whom we have confidence. He has power to place thoughts in our minds and to whisper to us in unspoken impressions to entice us to satisfy our appetites or desires, and in various other ways he plays upon our weaknesses and desires. Tactic number 5. They make you weak or sick or tired. This is Elder James E. Talmage in the Articles of Faith. Satan exerts a mastery over the spirits that have been corrupted by his practices. He is the foremost of the angels who were thrust down, and the instigator of the ruin of those who fall in this life. He seeks to molest and hinder mankind in good efforts by tempting to sin, or it may be by imposing sickness or possibly death. Yet in these malignant doings, he can go no farther than the transgressions of the victim may enable him, or the wisdom of God may permit, and at any time he may be checked by the superior power. Indeed, even the operations of his utmost malice may be turned to the accomplishment of divine purposes. Tactic number 6, they seduce and deceive you. Here's President Brigham Young. The adversary presents his principles and arguments in the most approved style and in the most winning tone, attended with the most graceful attitudes, and he is very careful to ingratiate himself into the favor of the powerful and influential of mankind, uniting himself with popular parties, floating into offices of trust and emolument by pandering to popular feeling, though it should seriously wrong and oppress the innocent. Tactic number 7. They entice you to do evil. President Brigham Young again. When the devil cannot overcome an individual through temptation or to commit wickedness, when he sees that the person is determined to walk in the line and travel straightforward into the celestial kingdom, he will adopt a course of flattery, will strive to exercise a pleasing influence, and move along smoothly with him. And when he sees an opportunity, he will try to turn him out of the way, even if it is only to the extent of a hair's breadth. Tactic number 8, they defile you by projecting evil, impure images into your mind. Elder Moses Thatcher said, Satan was an accuser of his brethren from the beginning, hence the rejoicing of angels when he and his kind were cast down to earth bodiless, estateless, and powerless, except for evil, wandering spirits in the realms of darkness, seeking everywhere and under all circumstances to enter, defile, and destroy the souls and bodies of men. Tactic number 9. They torment, torture, and harass you emotionally, physically, mentally, via suggestions. Here's 2 Corinthians 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Tactic number 10. They encourage you to believe in self-promotion and self-empowerment. The entire notion of creating your own life and believing in your own ability through your willpower to succeed at what you want contradicts the entire concept of submitting to the will of the Father. We are invited to lose our lives in the service of God, to come follow me, according to Jesus, not our own will. We are commanded to strip ourselves of pride and vanity. Jesus also taught that submission to God's will was even greater than self-mastery and empowerment, and that it's possible to be one with God. Hence we read in Galatians 6:3, For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Tactic number 11, they blind you to truths. Alma 10:25. But Amulek stretched forth his hand and cried the mightier unto them, saying, O ye wicked and perverse generation, why hath Satan got such great hold upon your hearts? Why will ye yield yourselves unto him, that he may have power over you, to blind your eyes, that ye will not understand the words which are spoken according to their truth? And finally, tactic number 12, They enslave you, for example, substance abuse, anger, gambling, or hypersexuality. This is Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that forms the doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now, in warfare, it would be foolish to think a highly organized force would ignore and disregard their opponent's weaknesses. Quite the contrary. In warfare, you patiently observe your opponent's weaknesses and seek to exacerbate and amplify them and ultimately defeat them. That's what Satan and his forces have been doing for many millennia. They're very skillful at it. And they are up to the challenge. President Brigham Young declared, "The men and women who desire to obtain seats in the celestial kingdom will find that they must battle with the enemy of all righteousness every day." In my next blog post on this series, we'll see how some are defeating Satan and his experienced forces. They are turning the tide in terms of health, happiness in their homes and relationships, and more. I think that sometimes we accept the cruddy circumstances we find ourselves in without ever considering that Jesus really does want to lighten our loads and take upon himself our burdens. He delights in doing so and is discouraged when we don't eagerly take advantage of the great atonement. When you do, especially via casting out evil, you're going to discover something profound about Jesus in your personal life. And in fact, you could consider it a mystery. And that mystery will be unveiled next time here.
When I lose my way and I forget my name, remind me who I am. In the mirror all I see is who I don't want to be. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is. I belong to you.